This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
You might need a portfolio. You might need a website. You might need a blog. You do need all of these
things.
Yeah,
you need all those things. I mean, aren't you living in 20 whatever this is now?
Yes. I mean, by the time you hear this show, it might be 2027. You might be a cyborg, but you still need a website. And Squarespace is absolutely still the best way to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got beautifully designed templates, customizable features. You do it all just with the click of a mouse.
Yep. To get started, whether you're a cyborg or not, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SPILLED to get 10% off your first purchase. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
With Third Love, you can find a perfect fitting bra in minutes. They've got this Fit Finder quiz online. This is the only kind of quiz I ever want to take, yeah. Really. And it helps you find exactly the right, not only size, but also bra style and shape for, you know, whatever you're into and what your body looks like and whatever.
Now, that sounds great, but what if I wanted to try it free for 30 days with
risk? Matthew, you can do that. You just pay $2.99. For shipping, and you do this by going to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. If you like it, keep it. They'll charge your card. If you don't, send it back, and you're only out $2.99. You can try it for 30 days, folks. That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about sorbet. And wait a minute, can I just say...
Yes?
This is episode number 298.
It is?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Oh my God. We've spent so much of our lives doing this, Matthew.
Like, how many days, like 24-hour days, do you think we've invested in this? A lot.
A lot. Yeah.
You know, I think...
I mean, at least 100, right?
I see you more often than I see my cat.
I mean, if you figure each of these is like an hour of work...
Oh, we're really doing the math, huh?
Yeah, so that's a lot of days, Matthew.
Yeah, the answer is a lot.
A lot,
like my calculator is smoking.
Great. All right, so let's talk about sorbet.
So that was...
That was the sorbet episode.
that was how we acknowledge our 298th anniversary. So this was the episode that we came up with the idea to do this during the boxed mac and cheese episode, mm-hmm. where we got so hot that we had to be hospitalized pretty much.
I was like, why aren't we eating something cool? It's summer.
Yeah, and you were right, and now we are. It's not as hot today, but I mean, still kind of gross in the studio, as always.
Yeah, but we're eating sorbet, and we will not be deterred by the fact that we're not suffering from heat stroke. You know, I also feel like we should point out that, like, I'm really glad that we're squeaking in under 300 episodes with this topic, because I fear that sorbets are going the way of the cassette tape.
Yeah, this is genuinely, I was surprised by this.
Matthew observed while buying the sorbets for us to eat for today's episode that there are far fewer sorbets in your grocer's freezer case than there used to be.
Yeah, no, I remember buying sorbet in the 90s, and I mean, here's my theory, and I have no
evidence.
It's
a low-fat thing.
Well, yeah. So I think that sorbet used to be the non-dairy or low-fat and or low-fat ice cream alternative.
And now there's like coconut.
Yeah, and there's
milk,
like Halo
shit.
Top, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So I feel like people who don't want to eat straight up ice cream have a lot of alternatives that seem a lot mm-hmm. healthier than sorbet.
Right. Which is basically like sugar and ice.
Yeah.
Which
I'm fine with.
Yeah, me too.
Totally fine with
it. But what that means is, like, I went around to, like, four different stores looking for sorbet and came up with, like, three flavors of Haagen-Dazs. And we did not buy Talenti Sorbetto for this just to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest, because they are a frequent advertiser on the show.
Yep. So, you know, of course Talenti makes sorbet. Of course we will not be talking about it today.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to start eating this, but can we walk down memory lane while I eat it?
Yeah. So can we start with like a 300 years ago memory lane? Like,
no.
How did this idea of sorbet as a palate cleanser get started? Was this ever a real thing?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Mm. Do you have an answer?
See, I got a lot of conflicting information about sorbet. You're not going to believe this, but I went on the internet and I found a lot of opinions. The impression that I got, which seems crazy, but I want to hear from listeners and or readers, is that what we know as sorbet, the thing we're talking about today, is kind of an American affectation. Like that, you know, that in Italy there's like granita, which is more mm-hmm. like, you know, you freeze it and then you kind of chip chunks off of it with a chisel.
I think a fork is what you might be looking for.
No, I'm fork is too I need mm-hmm. something manlier than a fork.
Oh, okay. okay.
But this you know, commercially produced, like churned, dairy free.
This is very smooth.
Very smooth dessert. I saw on Wikipedia it said like this is basically unknown in the UK. I don't know if this is true. UK listeners, what say you?
Interesting. So wait, this doesn't answer the palate cleansers question.
Oh, I don't know how we transitioned from that to this. So also at the same time, I was looking like, you know,
is there a food after which you feel like you need to have your palate cleansed before you move on to like a salad course or something?
Maybe like, I want to say like something really greasy, but like what would that be specifically? Well, like kettle chips?
Yeah. Like what about like braised short ribs? That shit can get pretty oily.
That is what I was thinking of. Yeah. So, but at the same time, like the salad course is itself
a palate cleanser. I would think of vinegar, if we're talking about like actual like removal of like any kind of slick on mm-hmm. one's tongue, vinegar is going to be way more effective than sugar syrup.
What if they just brought you a little cup of Scope like they do at the dentist?
That's a great idea. Uh-huh. That's going to make whatever you eat afterward taste fantastic.
Well, because, I mean, the salad course moved from after the entree to before the entree sometime. Like
in America.
In America. And now I think for the first time I really understand like why it was supposed to be after the short ribs.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring back the salad course.
Yeah, but so I was, you know, I got kind of conflicting information about whether like when you do serve sorbet as a palate cleanser, is it supposed to be like this, like a Haagen-Dazs lemon sorbet, or is it supposed to be something like something less sweet but still cold?
Wow, I'm really glad that we did not get to the bottom of
that. So we settled this. Mm-hmm. Memory lane.
So as a kid, I loved sorbet.
Okay.
I particularly loved raspberry sorbet, which, and I remember my family buying Haagen-Dazs raspberry sorbet, and I could swear that it was more raspberry-y and less pale pink. Like it was a darker pink than this.
I kind of remember it that way too.
It was a darker pink, and it was not quite this smooth, and it was more raspberry-y. This is like kind of, I mean, it's raspberry, but it's kind of like, I don't know. What do you think about the flavor of this?
I mean, I think it's pretty good. It's not super intense. And like, you know, what you want from a sorbet is like, you know, you don't want the creaminess of cream coming between you and your fruits, right?
Yeah, I want it to really taste like the fruit intensely. And this does not.
But the lemon does to me.
And the mango does.
Oh,
as
I haven't
well.
Tried the mango yet.
Anyway, so raspberry sorbet for sure when I was a kid. And then do you remember when chocolate sorbet came on the market?
I do.
I think chocolate sorbet is an awesome invention.
Oh, because interesting. Now I feel bad that we don't have any.
I love it.
I don't think I like it.
Well, I really like that sort of dark cocoa-y flavor. I really like it. I mean, it tastes like cocoa. I really love that. I mean, there's a time and a place for it, and there's a time
and
a place for chocolate ice cream. But I love chocolate sorbet. I really do.
Okay, well, if I ever see some... I will get it and have a solo tasting.
Okay, cool.
and I'll text you and we'll never talk about it on the show.
Hey, what about your memory lane?
I definitely had sorbet as a kid. I don't remember. You know, I was super into ice cream as a kid. I realized this seems shocking.
Wow, this is groundbreaking.
I think I probably saw sorbet as, you know, a pale imitation rather than a thing to be appreciated for what it is.
Yeah.
I think as a kid, I didn't know how to appreciate things for what they were.
I think that is a typical kid thing. Hey, what about Italian ice?
What is Italian ice? Is that like a granita or is that...
Or is that like a snow cone? It's smoother than a granita or a snow cone. The grains of ice are very small.
But not as small as this.
It's not as smooth as this. But it is quite smooth and generally very intense in whatever the flavor is. And I have to say, I was recently in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Birthplace of Italian ice.
And anyway, Matthew. Anyway, there was an Italian ice shop there, and I tasted three of the different Italian ices they had, and they were all better than this sorbet.
So what? So an Italian ice shop. I can't even visualize.
Oh,
what?
Well, it looked like sorbet, only not quite as kind of creamy as these are.
But it wasn't like a gelato shop.
No, it was a store, but they had Italian ice in the case instead of ice cream or sorbet.
Okay.
And it was so delicious. Like that intense fruit flavor that you and I are thinking of sorbet having, it had. So I kind of wonder... I mean, I think Italian ice is a very, like, East Coast thing.
It's a thing I don't think I really knew what it was.
I feel like we need to do a spilled milk retreat to, like, New York or New Jersey or Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
I was just going to say, how about Delaware, the first state?
In order to really get to the bottom of this sorbet versus Italian ice kind of thing. I'm pretty sure we're going to have some listeners who are going to weigh in on what Italian ice means to them.
What was the name of the street that you texted me from Delaware? Like, I'd never really thought about Delaware before. And then
Munchie Branch.
Then Molly texted me a photo of a street sign for Munchie Branch Road.
It was
and I was
amazing.
Like, I got to go to Delaware. These are my people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. Let's listeners, let's hold the first annual. It'll be like the Gathering of the Juggalos, but for spilled milk. It'll be in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware,
at a time
to be determined. We're going to eat Italian ice. We're going to get an Airbnb on Munchie Branch Road. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. What else do you do in Delaware?
You go to the beach.
You go to the beach. Okay.
You eat frozen custard. You eat French fries from Thrasher's.
Wow. That sounds great.
It doesn't sound great.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go right now. This episode of Spilled Milk is brought to you by The Great Courses Plus.
Now, you know The Great Courses Plus. It's where you can watch hundreds of expertly taught courses online from your phone, your computer, your tablet, whatever.
Yeah, and over 8,000 of them, in fact.
I think that's too many. I think you'll get too smart.
Oh.
I recently got too smart because I watched some of a course called Food Science and the Human Body, which is taught by Professor Alyssa Crittenden at UNLV.
Wow.
And it sounds like this could be like, you know, is it going to be like all about nutrition and like what not to do? But it's not. It's like physiology, archaeology, cultural anthropology, and nutrition, like all smooshed together.
Really?
Yeah. And she's like a really fun teacher. And there are a ton of lectures. There's like...
This is so cool.
It starts out with one about like, what was the real paleo diet?
Oh, this is like genuinely interesting to
yes.
me.
There is one about beer and fermentation. There's one about food as recreational drugs, like magic mushrooms and stuff. And there is a whole lecture devoted to poop.
Oh my gosh, this is my dream come true. Uh-huh.
So it's fascinating. And I would say Professor Crittenden really knows her shit.
Wow. And, you know, I hear that you can get a free month because you're a Spilled Milk listener.
I have heard that too. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that to do that, you go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/milk.
Yep, that's thegreatcoursesplus.com/MILK.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Whatever your online needs might be, Squarespace can help you get them met.
Yes, that is true for almost all of your online needs.
Should I be more specific?
Probably.
Okay. So maybe you are, maybe you're an artist.
Yeah.
And maybe you paint pictures of like revolutionaries.
Yes.
Che Guevara, let's say. Okay.
Chairman Mao.
So maybe you're a painter. You paint pictures of these heroes.
Simone Bolivar.
And you, Rosa Parks.
Uh-huh. Lenin.
Anyway.
John Lennon.
Yeah. Anyway, then you need to sell those. So you put them in your online portfolio on your Squarespace website. Or, hey, maybe you make t-shirts and you want to you want to open an online store of your t-shirts that you sell with screen prints of Che Guevara and all those other people.
But I mean, e-commerce, that sounds hard and expensive, is it?
Oh, no, not on Squarespace, Matthew. Nope. Squarespace makes it easy for you to do whatever you need to do. Portfolio, e-commerce, blog, you name it.
So if I wanted to get started on my own Squarespace site and sell my own damn t-shirts, like just the t-shirts in my drawer that I don't want anymore.
Who would be on your t-shirts?
Oh, I have a bunch of plain t-shirts with nothing printed on them. Oh. Like the one I'm wearing now. Do you
just
think
your sweat stains? That's
yeah,
what's on them.
That's right. I'm such an internet celebrity that people want to buy my old shit.
Yep.
So if you have a great idea, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SPILLED to get 10% off your first purchase.
Again, that's SPILLED, SPILLED. I think I know why sorbet is not as popular as it used to be.
Because it's not very good?
Because it's not as good as it used to be.
So, but
everything used to be better.
Are we just gilding our memories, though?
No. I really believe that these things used to be less sweet. And that they used to be more fruit forward.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I still think the lemon is very good.
Have you ever made sorbet?
No. I have made an ice cream now once or twice ever since the disastrous homemade ice cream episode
that never aired. Yeah. I have made chocolate sorbet.
Oh.
And it was delicious. Super delicious. Once again, I think that maybe we should have a chocolate sorbet show.
Okay, fine.
But anyway, I think chocolate sorbet.
Will you make some and bring it?
It's never as smooth as this Häagen-Dazs stuff. This is like velvety.
Uh-huh. Are they using some sort of technology? No.
So would you ever... I'm sure, like, you know, another thing that has exploded on the market is like those very fruit forward popsicles. Outshine,
yes,
is the brand, or
like
Edie's,
yeah,
or something like that. I feel like those do for me now what sorbet used to do.
They are so right.
Very like good fresh fruit flavor.
And they sometimes have like fruit chunks in them,
yes,
which sorbet doesn't. But yes, absolutely. That is what happened to sorbet.
What happened to sorbet?
It got barred.
Oh my gosh. What a crime.
Well, no, but we cracked something. Like, this is the first time we solved a mystery on
that,
the show.
Like, if we were to like chart this, I think popsicles have gone way up.
Yep.
And sorbet way down.
I wonder if we could do one of those like Google trends things,
yeah,
and confirm this hypothesis.
I think we should, and we'll post it on the website or
okay,
Facebook or something.
All right. It may turn out not to confirm the hypothesis.
Oh, but
that's fine.
No.
No, then we won't post it. Then we will bury that data.
Yeah. Let's just follow the example of our current government.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We've got a rug. If you've got a rug, shovel stuff under it.
Yeah, just shovel as much stuff under it as you can.
Wait, sweep stuff under it. There's no expression shovel stuff under the rug. I'm sorry. But there should be, because we got a lot of shit here.
Yeah.
To shovel.
Yeah. Okay, so wait a minute. So have you ever used sorbet? Like, do you remember in the heyday of sorbet?
I remember it so well.
Do you, like, I remember being 10 years old and eating in this restaurant with my parents, some sort of fancy restaurant my parents
I don't remember
wanted
this.
To go to. Anyway, and this place had a sorbet plate, and they had like 10 different flavors of sorbet that they had like around the plate, like a painter's palette.
Oh my God.
With like little dots of different fruit purees. I had like died and gone to heaven.
Wait, and you got served all 10?
I got served all 10, but they
were
like
God,
tiny scoops. I mean, scoops like the size of a silver dollar.
So do you remember any of the flavors?
I don't, but it was like a peak dessert experience for me,
yeah,
as an adolescent.
I'm glad you said that, because it reminded me that one time Lori and I had lunch at Gramercy Tavern,
uh-huh,
Danny Meyer's restaurant in New York. And for dessert, one of us got the ice cream plate, which had three canals of ice cream, and
uh-huh,
one of us got the sorbet. I don't remember who was who, and I don't really remember what the sorbet flavors were either, but
uh-huh,
but it was very good.
Yeah, I feel like there used to be a day when places would have like ice cream and sorbet,
yeah, this was
on their
1998
menus.
So
yeah,
that was during the sorbet age.
It was in the sorbet age.
Yeah, it was.
I think my meal was about 10 years earlier, maybe like 88 or 89.
Yeah, that was more. That was really like the heart. Like, we were close to the extinction.
We were close to like mass sorbet.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I also remember a time when sorbet was frequently served next to other desserts, like,
yes,
you know, like they would serve like a flourless chocolate cake with a scoop of raspberry sorbet, or do you know what I mean?
I know
like
what
this
you
used
mean.
To happen
at the same, I think the same Gramercy Tavern meal. We got like a tomato, like heirloom tomato salad that had a little scoop of tomato
sorbet. Yes.
How 90s can you get?
It's so 90s. Have you ever like used sorbet in any
sexual way?
Well, that could be fun. Have you ever used sorbet in any sort of like recipe or like a
yes
with next to a plated dessert that you've served your loved ones?
No.
Okay.
Have you?
No.
Well, because I have used it in milkshakes.
Really?
Because like I think if you go back to the milkshake episode, you will find I made the lemon cheesecake milkshake from lemon buttermilk milkshake from Thoroughly Modern Milkshakes,
yes.
Adam Reed's book.
Yes.
And it has vanilla ice cream, lemon sorbet, and buttermilk.
Wow.
He uses sorbet a lot in that book, which is a great book. And he says, and I think he's right, that for flavoring a milkshake, you get more fruit flavor from using sorbet than from using a fruit-flavored ice cream or a jam or something else.
Ah, that makes really good sense.
Uh-huh. And he uses chocolate sorbet in his chocolate milkshake, I think.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
oh,
if
man.
We ever turn up that chocolate sorbet...
Oh, I'm looking for that book on your shelf
right now. It's over there somewhere.
Oh,
for sure.
I love it.
This episode was brought to you by Third Love.
Third Love helps you find a perfect fitting bra in minutes with their Fit Finder quiz. It's like a pop quiz online, but about boobs.
Awesome.
Woo-hoo.
And you can try one of their bras free for 30 days just by paying $2.99 for shipping. Go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. This episode is brought to you by Full Pull Wines.
So Molly and I actually met Paul, the Full Pull Wines guy, the chief, the puller in chief.
Yeah, he's the puller in chief.
At the Full Pull Wines warehouse in Soto, which is part of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned about what they do.
Yeah, and this is such a cool concept. So basically, let's say you're somebody who likes wine.
Yep.
Okay. Let's say that you feel pretty intimidated going into the grocery store because there's like so much wine.
Yeah, like at the grocery store near me, there are probably 1,500 different bottles of wine.
And even at a certain point, the little shelf talker things aren't very helpful because you don't really know the people who are writing them. And you're kind of like, do I trust Joe Blow, wine talker man?
Right. So what I want a friend who is going to tell me like which wines to get that are like really good, interesting picks, explain, you know, what they taste like without using any ridiculous wine guy terminology.
Mm-hmm. And then I want that guy to make it easy for me to buy the wines and to either come pick them up or have them shipped to me. Maybe I don't even have to leave my house. Well, Full Pull Wines does all of those things.
Yeah, Full Pull Wines is the guy.
He's the guy.
So you go to fullpullwines.com, you sign up for their free mailing list. You know, each email is just about one wine that they really like and explaining where it's from, how it's grown, what it tastes like, why you might like it too.
Yep.
And if you like it, you say, hey, reserve a couple bottles of that for me, and then you go pick them up or they ship them right to your door.
It's so cool. So yeah, Full Pull Wines, we are really glad to know about you.
fullpullwines.com.
Okay, what else do we have to say about sorbet?
Well, like what flavors, we've talked about raspberry, we've talked about mango, we've talked about chocolate. Are there other, you know, does any fruit flavor make a good sorbet flavor?
I have this thing against things that are peach flavored.
Oh,
like
let's
I don't
hear
like
it.
Peach yogurt. I don't want peach ice cream. Peach sorbet, that does not appeal to me. No, no, no.
Is it because it's not very acidic?
I don't know. Just peach flavored things are always like not very good.
Because I think I want my sorbet to be tart.
Yes. None of these are. None of the ones we're tasting today.
The lemon is kind of, but it could be more so.
It could be more so. Okay, so lemon, raspberry, mango, strawberry sorbet, classic.
Oh, yeah.
Blackberry sorbet. Oh, my God, I think I have a blackberry sorbet recipe on my blog.
Oh, blackberry sorbet
from
sounds
like 10
fantastic.
Years ago.
Strawberry sorbet feels not tart enough to me.
My daughter loves buying strawberry sorbet at like an ice cream store or something like that. She always, what she looks for.
Many of the things you just said, I need clarification. She loves buying it at an ice cream store.
I mean,
we're playing a make-believe game right now. Like, okay, this is Molly's ice cream store and we have Italian ice, we have strawberry sorbet, we have chocolate chip cookie dough explosion, and everything's 26 cents.
Yeah.
Here's my handwritten menu.
No, June always looks for, like, when we go to our neighborhood gelato shop.
Sure.
She always gets the sorbetto, the strawberry sorbetto.
Okay, that makes more sense now.
She always buys it at the ice cream store.
No, you said ice cream store. That's what really stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah, when June and I are playing ice cream store.
Uh-huh. Yeah. God, when Iris was a kid, there were so many, like, fake restaurant games and it was always, like, it was the ritualized transaction that was the most important part of the game.
Yeah.
It's, you could, like, see the little mind try to figure out how the world works, and, like, you know, that it involves, like, someone coming up to a window and, like, handing across some money, totally. And then I hand you the stuff.
It's so cool. I still love, I mean, I love the idea of playing that stuff.
I want to order. I bet, like, you know, you can tell me, you have a young kid, like, it seems like you can, like, order stuff. You don't, I mean, obviously you can play a make-believe game using only your imagination, but why? Because it probably can get, like, all kinds of cool, realistic fake food.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have a whole bunch of fake food. IKEA makes a fake, like, a toy cash register that is very appealing.
They also make a fake bookcase that looks like a bookcase, but it falls apart after, like, 6 months.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think I had one of those.
Uh-huh, me too.
And anyway.
Oh, can I tell you a story? No, go ahead. Sorry.
At the Portland Children's Museum.
I used to love that place.
It's so cool. They have a whole room that is set up like a grocery store, complete with like a little bakery counter. They've got the produce section. They've got the checkout lanes. And basically kids can play every different role there. Like, kids can play the cashier. Kids can be the baker. Kids can be the shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
It's super cool. I also once saw a kid fully wet his pants there and leave a puddle on the ground. And the mom just, like,
what are you going to do?
Pulled the kid away and they walked away.
Oh,
and
man.
I was like, hey.
I used to take Iris to the Children's Museum, but it was like Tantrum Central. Like, I mean, and I'm not talking about other kids, although there were other kids having tantrums. It was just like, you know,
you're
if
talking
I want
about yourself.
If I want, yeah, no, if I want, if I wanted me, myself, to have a total meltdown and just lose my shit all over the place, the Children's Museum was the place to do it. Cause, like, those fucking kids, you know, they would not let me get my hands on those ping pong balls for the big gears and levers.
Oh, what about the water room? That's pretty cool.
Yes, but it's hard to tell which is the water and which is the urine. So I had a story about something. What were we talking about a minute ago?
I just ran right over you and
all
wouldn't
right.
let you.
No. I interrupted you to try and tell my story.
And then I forgot my story.
So I'm gonna have a tantrum now. all right. Yeah, I think that's going to do it.
Cool. Well, hey, so you can, I don't know, like, you can tell us about why you think there isn't as much sorbet in the grocery store freezer aisle.
Yeah. Some intrepid actual reporter should be reporting on this very important story.
Yeah. You can tell us all about your thoughts on this extremely important topic at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
Did we already say spilledmilkpodcast.com?
Nope, we didn't. Okay. And you can also find us on Instagram. We are at spilledmilkpodcast on Instagram.
Uh-huh. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Hey, we just remembered to do the two things that we keep forgetting to do. Yes, we're doing it. I'm so proud of us.
I am too.
I feel like we have earned one tantrum each because we've been so good.
Yay!
Until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that hit its peak in 1998.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Because, you know, like, clearly we're ethically compromised.
I mean, and, in many ways.
Yeah, and so we should explain that, because our listeners clearly have no idea.
We keep getting caught up in all of these conflicts of interest.
Yeah. There's
the number of scandals that this show has become embroiled in.
Oh, man. It's like a regular white water over here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a Watergate. It's like a white gate.
It's like a white gate.